Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour DDC here on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. The gang is all here. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McAbabe, Max Hers in the saddle. All here at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. Alex Pillow. Right? Pillow?
Yep. Yeah.
We've had him on before.
IndyCar driver.
Yep. Memory serves me correct.
We'll be having...
That'll be at 12:30.
Yep. And usually we'll be at 11 every Tuesday.
Yep.
Excited to have those guys on. Jimmy Johnson.
We had Joseph Newgarden last Tuesday at 11, so that was fun. Yeah, he was in SRX over the weekend at Fairgrounds.
Yeah, that was a fun race.
Once I realized Nashville SC was going to win, I moved on to the SRX.
And that was a good move?
Yeah, it was fun.
Bobby Labonte.
Yeah, and he's like 72.
He's not that old.
No, he's late 50s.
Yeah.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. William, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great.
I don't know who y'all can contact in NHL and Friedman, but I've never seen an NHL where prospects who are RFAs have not been tendered qualifying offers as much as this year.
Isn't it like 100? It's almost like 100 players, isn't it?
Yep. It's the salary cap being flat.
Like what is going on?
The salary cap is flat.
Yeah. It's just the salary cap.
And it will not be any better next year, and they know it. So they're cutting bait. There's a lot of guys getting thrown out. The market is flooded.
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping means good things for Nashville, who has a little bit more budget than some.
They're going to take advantage of some of those mid-tier guys that are unfortunately not going to get their value, but that's what's going to happen. All right, Willie.
What you got for us?
You got a question.
You've been itching to do something here.
Heard this
discussed. Thank you for the call, William, by the way.
Did you guys happen to see Chris Sale the other day, who has got a very volatile...
I haven't seen
him. He's another even-kill
right.
guy.
He's a very volatile guy. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's what happened. He was doing a minor league rehab start. I forget exactly where he was. Max, do you know exactly where it was?
Triple A Worcester, which is an hour from Boston.
Worcester used to be known as the Paw Sox, right? So they got a new park in Worcester, Pawtucket, Worcester. Triple A, brand new place. Doesn't like how he pitched in the rehab start. Goes in and absolutely goes nuts in the bathroom, the clubhouse, whatever it was. Just trashes the place. I'm not talking about just, threw a bat or threw a glove. I mean, he just destroyed it. Left a huge mess. They talked about this on the Sunday night broadcast.
On the field or off the field or both?
In the clubhouse, in the bathroom. They talked about this on the Sunday night broadcast.
Hate the guy that leaves a mess in the bathroom.
Well, he did damage. I mean, he did thousands of dollars in damage. Okay? So the question is, should he clean up the mess? You're going to do that? You're not there. You're a guest in AAA. You're a big-time player. And you do that, all right, you lose your cool. So what do you do in the aftermath? He didn't do anything.
So you're hypothetical.
Some of the Buster Olney, David Cone, they were kind of like, no big deal. That's just what players do. They threw a tantrum, leave it to somebody else. If somebody did that to the Sounds clubhouse, you think the Sounds would appreciate just having to clean everything up and, hey, thanks for coming, Chris. See you later. Good luck in Boston.
Well,
I think you got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, the good human in you says you got
to
do something.
You're a big leaguer. You don't have to do that. Like, I think that you should clean up the mess if you're going to do that.
Well, I
don't
agree.
Leave it to everybody.
I agree with you, but he's not going to do it. I mean, that's the thing.
Not?
Because he's a big league player that's made a lot of money and now has this "I'm better than you" attitude. That's why.
Chris Sale also, once upon a time, when he was pitching for the White Sox, they were going to wear the Bill Veeck wacky White Sox uniforms from the 70s. I don't know if you guys remember that. That huge butterfly collars. One time they wore shorts. One of the most bizarre uniforms ever put out there.
They wore.
He didn't want to wear them. And so what did he do? He took scissors and chopped up all the uniforms so they couldn't wear them. They physically couldn't do it. And he just said, "It's your problem." So that's what we're talking about with Chris Sale. He's a great pitcher. He's had injury issues. But when you trash the minor league clubhouse and you kind of leave it there, I couldn't believe I heard that David Cone and Buster Olney were kind of saying, "Hey, players have been doing this for a long time. It just happened to be caught on video." It was on video where he did this. You can watch the video. He went nuts. Now, players have done this before, and it never gets reported. Nobody says anything because it wasn't on tape. So that's it. But wouldn't you make a gesture of some sort to Wista?
I mean, if it's me, yeah, of course I would. But I'm also
not
surprised.
At least pay the tab.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do that.
So what's the right thing to do? When you throw a temper tantrum,
the right thing
to
do, yes, the right thing to do is to clean up your mess. The really right thing to do is not make the mess in the first place.
Well, I know, but people's emotions sometimes, you know, it happens.
Yeah, but
if you're that kind of guy, you should at least clean it up when you cool down.
But here's the thing: like for years, we've seen guys go into the dugout and take the bat to the water cooler and to the bench, and you know, make a mess in the dugout and all that stuff. They know they're being watched. They know they're on TV, so they kind of make it a show. Don't you think a little bit of this is he knew that there's video, he knew people would find out that he made it a little bit of a show?
I don't think he knew he was on video because you can't really see him in the video. He's around the corner, and you see stuff just getting smashed and here everywhere. I mean, it was a John McEnroe special. But to me, it's the question of, people lose their cool, but the status in the game that he has, I think there should be an immediate gesture in the aftermath saying, "Well, okay, I lost my cool. What do we need to do to make this right?" You can't just leave it there.
You seem to be a little bit sensitive about the minors right now.
Well, you got to respect
not taking up for the minors.
The David Cone Buster Olney camp was no big deal. So I'm throwing it at you guys. Big deal, no big deal.
It's not a big deal because it's just what it is.
Yeah, and I mean,
but like, how are we teaching people to act? You know, you're setting an example. What
really?
What impression
you're
going to
ask that? You're going to ask that question in 2022?
I am. So you're setting example. You're only going to be there until he's ready to be cleared to pitch for the Red Sox. So what message does that send to the AAA players?
He doesn't
just
care.
Do whatever.
It's a horrible message. To answer your question, it's a horrible message. But he doesn't care. And nobody's going to make him care. Nobody's going to hold him accountable to care. If you really want this problem to be fixed, then somebody holds him accountable. Somebody with the Red Sox goes to him and says, "Hey, I don't care who you are or what you've done, you're going to pay for this. Like, you owe them money. Or you need to apologize, something." But they're not going to do that. Because they don't. And so that's why players get away with it. That's why Buster Olney had that attitude of like, "All right, whatever. It happens."
It was a meltdown.
Sherry in Nashville in our text line says, "Saturday night on Fox, the broadcast, Chris Sale was even making jokes about it, saying he did it in hopes of getting an endorsement deal from Samsung."
So yeah. this is what he said after. He goes, "It's a 7-year-old temper tantrum. It's not something I'm proud of. It's not something I want to do. But like I said, stuff happens, man. Got to get it out."
There you go.
Got to get it
there
out.
You go.
There you go.
Let it be, man. Let it be. Tom in Clarksville, or I'm sorry, Tom from Clarksville on our text line. He wants to congratulate you, Willie, on the Mets taking round one. He says your Max was better than his Max.
Max Fried struggled a lot last night. Apparently he had a bad quad, and he was off. The Mets really should have scored more runs. He walked five guys. The Mets had guys on base. He did a very good job to keep it close. But Max Scherzer was absolutely lights out last night. He was fantastic.
I do have concerns. I think Max Fried is a heck of a pitcher.
Oh, he is.
I mean, he's their ace. There's no doubt. But I do have concerns with him in big situations like that. Now, game six, he overcame that. He was lights out in game six of the World Series. But there were times in the playoffs that it was the big stage and he crumbled under the pressure. Last night was the big stage. It wasn't national television, which I was a little surprised by. But he knew the ramifications of that game and how big of a game that was and didn't bring his A game. And so that does worry me.
I think it was physically an issue there.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonGottiHunter.com. Steve on Chris Sale, or is it Steve Sale? I don't know. It says Steve Sale. Steve, what's up?
It's on Chris Sale.
Okay.
Good morning, guys. Great show. I listen all the time in California. So can the White Sox hold him accountable financially? I mean, I know there's probably a players union. They'll probably file a grievance. But can the White Sox take it out of his contract to pay for that?
Well, it would be the Red Sox. It does look like has in the aftermath.
I was going to say, Brad tweeted at us and said he paid
for
the damage.
Okay.
So there you go. Problem solved. Thank you, Steve.
He's made amends. Let's see. Took out his frustrations, spent $6,000 on lunch and dinner for the players.
So there you go, Willie. Your rant is over. It's been
I'd like to see the tab, though, for what he did.
You're on a Chris Sale mission. Let's just let it be, man. It's over. It's done. He's made restitution, okay? It's over. Let's close the book. All right, we'll come back. More on the DDC next. Let's do this. Let's find out who's listening when not prompted. Caller 8, 615-737-1025. Tickets to see My Chemical Romance.
There you go.
At Bridgestone Arena.
Not Beyonce.
August 23rd. Caller 8 to our phone line. Max Hurst is standing by, anxiously awaiting your call. Good luck, and thanks for listening. My Chemical Romance, Bridgestone Arena, August 23rd. SEC Media Days next week. It's going to be very interesting because we had a good talk with Vince yesterday, and it's going to be an avalanche of what has been going on in the college football landscape with schools jumping. Of course, the SEC's come out and said, we're good with 16. Yeah, right. Of course, what do you expect them to say? Look, we've got Oklahoma and Texas coming. We're actively searching this school and this school and this school. And of course, that's not what they're – I mean, I expect them, but I don't believe that they're really – if somebody attractive says, hey, we want to come – we'll play. Okay, we'll come over. Then they'll be talking about it. But anyway, that's their stance right now. But the schools, it will start on Monday. We will have coverage – down in Atlanta.
Yep. Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Caroline Fenton and Michelle Knezovic will be headed down there and anchoring all of that. So looking forward to having that. And you'll hear different interviews and everything from Radio Row in Hotlanta.
Speaking of that, Georgia will send their senior quarterback, Stetson Bennett.
He's going to be very intriguing this year. Very intriguing.
I like to see who's sending their quarterback, right?
Yep.
Because I do want, so Florida's sending Anthony Richardson, their sophomore quarterback. Kentucky is sending Will Levis, their senior quarterback, transfer from Penn State. Let's see who else is sending.
Bama's sending Bryce Young.
Vanderbilt is sending Mike Wright.
Oh.
How about that?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I always think it's interesting who's sending their quarterback. Hendon Hooker is going to be there representing the Vols.
So a lot of quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, and typically that's not always been the case.
Last year there weren't a ton.
No. KJ Jefferson for Arkansas will be there. And as you mentioned, Bryce Young, of course, which he'll get a lot of attention. But I think that's it. So that's what? Half or a little bit over half?
Yeah.
The school sending in their quarterback? Ole Miss not sending in a quarterback?
No.
LSU not sending in a quarterback?
Auburn not.
Missouri's not. Auburn's not. Mississippi State's not. South Carolina's not.
Auburn's sending Tank Bigsby, though, so that'll be good. I like him.
A&M is not. So,
are we gonna
be next week.
I really wish that Jimbo and Saban were on the same day. Missed opportunity.
Well, my guess is they probably really wanted to do that and then said, maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah. But Monday, the
but
first
coach. Spread them out. And they're going to get asked about it.
Oh, of course.
Now, they're probably going to just let it be and move. They've probably moved on. But if anybody says anything, then it'll be the perfect opportunity for the other one to have a rebuttal the next day or whatever.
Well, Saban goes Tuesday and Jimbo goes Thursday.
Okay.
So what will happen is, which is actually better for Saban, that he goes first because – we all know that Saban goes into SEC Media Days with his complain list. I was going to call it something else. But his complain list that he will harp on something, and then it'll set the tone. Everybody will write about it. Oh, here's what he's complaining about. Now, he was pretty good last year. Like, I sat in there, and I think he kind of – NIL was so new, he didn't really know what to do with it yet. Like how he wanted to go about it. He tried to have his message, but you know, you guys have been there and you know he will go in and with an agenda a lot of times. And I think this year he's definitely going to have an agenda. I think a lot of the coaches are. I mean, it's intriguing to me that Monday the first coach is Brian Kelly making his SEC Media Days debut. Now I'm wondering if he will have the accent or if he will just be normal. We'll see. But I think that's intriguing because here's a guy that – you know, this was kind of out of left field. He was at Notre Dame for so long. You know, what's kind of his message not only with the team but then with everything going on with, you know, because don't you think he's going to be asked, hey, do you, even though you're not there anymore, do you foresee Notre Dame, this forces them into a conference at some point? Like, I feel like that's a reasonable question to ask him.
I think in that room, yeah, the big room.
I'm going to be disappointed if he's not asked.
Yeah.
With the SEC – do you think that would be something like it seems more natural Big Ten, Notre Dame, but would it be worth like making a play if you're the SEC to get Notre Dame?
Of course, yes. But I don't.
If we're gonna keep going this and it's all in, everybody's going crazy. Why not just? Do you think it will get to that a free for all? Now, Wes Durham kind of threw some fire, water on the fire.
He was not
right. He was saying, "Calm down, everybody.
Calm down.
This is not going to be that crazy. Not anytime soon. The ACC is protected." Notre Dame, though, I don't think is under that full category. But I just wonder. It may not. It's not going to happen. Maybe in the next year. 2 years, but I just wonder if everybody's in play and it becomes a free-for-all and it's do you want to be in the Big Ten or the SEC and those two are going to be in a different league than everybody mm-hmm. else? Then
they already are.
It's going that direction.
Yeah. No, they already are. So
who wants Notre Dame? Like, why wouldn't you, if you're the SEC, say, well, let's go over Notre Dame?
Oh,
who's gonna let Notre Dame keep their NBC deal?
That's the complicated part.
That's what it's going to be.
Well, they'll be
do you make special comp, mm-hmm. you know, special?
You're gonna have to.
Special excuse, not excuse. Special.
Yeah, but how do you
situation?
Do that? How do you do that?
I don't know
because everything's divided up equally.
Aren't they doing it for Texas, sort of? Texas still has the Longhorn thing. I don't know. It's under the ESPN umbrella.
Are they making money out? Like, that's the other part.
I don't know. Still on. Really making.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They put all their baseball games and all their volleyball games.
The money that they thought they were going to be making.
They have a
it?
Channel. They have their own channel.
I don't think they're making, like, you know, what Notre Dame makes on NBC, obviously.
They're not. But,
I mean, they're making something, otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Are you saying is Texas making money or is ESPN
making
money?
No, it's Texas because remember,
it doesn't matter. ESPN is giving them they just put their programming on there. Texas isn't running the station.
Yeah, but there's a rights deal that just like the SEC network. I mean, there's a rights deal there.
Okay, that's something somebody would have to explain to me.
Well, that was the whole reason they did it, because they're like, we don't want to share the money with the Big 12. We just want to do our own network.
But now that they're going to the SEC, how does that work with the Longhorn Network? Because ESPN, remember, CBS doesn't have a game now. CBS is out of the SEC. Everything is ESPN now for the SEC. And the Longhorn Network is also ESPN. So that works somehow. I don't know how they're divvying up the money. I don't know if Texas is still getting extra because they have the Longhorn Network when they join the SEC, but that would be an important question if you're going to tackle the Notre Dame
thing. Well,
because we're not talking about an ESPN entity. They're an NBC.
Yeah, and it's two. So it's kind of funny how this all works out, because there's two more years on the current TV deal with CBS, and then that's when all this is supposed to change, because that's when after that, well, I guess there's 1 year. What I think will happen is Texas and Oklahoma will leave a year early, so everything matches up. And then the other teams.
You're talking about with the playoff deal?
No, with the –
because that's up in SEC, 25, isn't it?
Well, the SEC's deal with CBS is up after next year. Okay. So they have this year in 22 and then 23, and then 24 will be the first year with Disney, with ABC and ESPN. The Texas and Oklahoma's deal with the Big 12 ends – after the 24 season, I think they buy out a year early and leave a year early to match everything up with the TV deal. And I think by then we'll have a clearer picture of what these super conferences actually look like.
Alabama has been picked by the media 6 years in a row to win the SEC, 10 out of the last 12 years. Can you name the two teams in the last 12 years that were actually picked at media days to win the conference, not named Alabama?
12 years.
10 out of 12.
Man.
Alabama's been picked. There's been two times they haven't been picked.
I'd say Georgia LSU.
Georgia LSU. One right, one wrong. Which,
LSU.
Obviously, there's two. So
yeah.
So which one's right?
Which one's right?
LSU is right. LSU in 2012 was picked by the media to win.
Okay.
That makes sense. Because that was the year after Alabama beat LSU in the rematch in the national championship game.
That's right.
After that famous 9-6. And I remember that well, because that was the early days of 102-5.
That was the 21-0 national championship game?
Yeah,
LSU was shut out in the national championship game.
Couldn't get past the...
But in the regular season, they played that epic game that LSU won when they were 1-2. And that was my entry into 102-5 the game.
Yep. 2015 was
so
the other
LSU
year.
Was loaded the next year, got picked to win.
2015?
There's your hint. 2015, yes.
2015
LSU,
is the year.
LSU 2012.
2015.
2015 is the other year.
Florida?
Nope.
And it's not Georgia?
Nope.
A&M?
Nope.
No. Who had a stacked team? Would win the SEC.
Who's the other SEC team that's won?
Auburn?
National championship, yeah. Auburn. Auburn, 2015. So the reason I bring that up is...
That wasn't...
You said Georgia.
That year.
No. You said, is this the year? Does Georgia...
I think there's a chance.
Is Georgia picked over Bama, or are they going with Bama?
I think there's a chance. I'm curious of that.
Yeah, me too. Because there's your legit... team that the media could actually pick over Bama, and we know they just won the national championship. Well, so will they get picked, or do they go back to all reliable? About to find out next week. All right. Congratulations, Matt in Mount Juliet. Matt was lucky caller 8. Matt, you're going to My Chemical Romance at Bridgestone Arena at the end of August. Great job. Enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. More DDC next. You could join us and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids, but we can't do it without your help. However you can help, go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give children in need here in Middle Tennessee that are experiencing homelessness. So let's do some good this summer. thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Back here on the DDC. So we talked a lot
That's something really cool, by the way, that we're doing. And I'm glad we're doing this again for Souls for Souls. We did it last year around Christmas, but doing it back to school. So please help however you can.
So we talked a lot about the Predators in hour number one. So you brought up the Dante Fabbro. And it seems like you're suggesting, and we've had a lot of comments on this, that maybe if you really want to beef up the second line, if you really want to get that last move, which we believe David Poile is probably one last move for this upcoming season, right?
He's the big move.
He's traded for McDonough. He traded away Myers in that deal. He traded away Luke Cunningham to San Jose. He got a draft pick and Leonard in return. We know that Philip Forsberg deal is signed now. He's coming back in the mix. So the one last real piece is beefing up that second line. By the way, David Poile said that in that interview when I asked him why was it time to move on from Luke Cunningham. And he, if I heard it correctly, he admitted that he was going to be moving down the lineup if he was still on this team, which is no surprise.
He said in that interview what he, I think, was pretty consistent in his message about Luke Cunningham was they see him as a really good NHL player that they fear will bounce back and be better, but they just could not count on him to play the second line. And they desperately need some more certainty in the second line. I think if you look at the second line right now, let's just say Mikael Granlund right now is the center. Let's say you have Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne as your first line. Granlund is the second line. I think one of the spots on the wings would probably be Tomasino or Tolvanen, whoever wins that. You'd
I think it's Tomasino and not even a question.
Not even a I would love for that to be the case, but he's young. He's got to win it. He's got to win the job.
I think he's won the job.
I hope you're right. But you're not giving he's not going to be given that job. He's got to earn the job.
No, I mean, I think he's earned it.
He might do it for 2 months and then slump, and then maybe Tolvanen's hot. But you're leaving that space for them to go take that, which there's risk involved, but it also, with the budget that you have and with what you have to have from those guys to be successful, they need to, somebody needs to win that job. You hope that one of them does. I'm with you that I think the most likely guy that is going to get the best chance is Tomasino. But I'm not putting – I'm not giving Tomasino and Tolvanen just that – that right there. You need more certainty. I think Tomasino or Tolvanen, whoever's in that spot, will have a much better chance to succeed if there's another veteran on that line that can drive some stuff. So you have that spot. So what do? We asked David Poile, based on his budget, based on what he sees out there, what he said was, hey, there's some options out there that we like, but keep in mind, we've got to be thinking ahead to next year when the cap only goes up $1 million. We've got Yakov Trenin that we've got to sign this year. Next year, you've got to sign Tanner Jeannot and Alex Carrier, and he mentioned Dante Fabbro.
Yep.
The cap is only going up $1 million. They have to be thinking that. Right now, who makes the most money out of that group? Dante Fabbro, $2.4 million. He's in the last year of his contract. He's a restricted free agent. After next year, you retain his rights. But right now in the top four, you have budgeted pretty heavily in the next few years. McDonough, Ekholm, Josi, we know. Alex Carrier, you would think right now, has got the inside track for that job in the top four. So that leaves you Dante Fabbro and Jeremy Lauzon as a really solid third pair on paper. Excellent third pair. But the question is, what's the future hold for Dante Fabro? And the caller from Montana, his last name was not Montana, brought up a good question. He said, are Carrier and Fabro really competing for one spot in the top four? Can you afford, if they're both going to get raises after next year, to have them both on the roster? That's a really interesting question. So one of the things I put out there was, A, you keep it as it is. David Poile said, if we do that as it stands now, he said, I it'd be hard for us to make a multi-year offer, a long-term commitment to a forward right now with the budget they have. He said, we'd be looking at more of a short-term commitment because of all these guys we've got to sign after next year. So who do you look at there? Claude Giroux, David Perron, Phil Kessel, all might be at different price ranges, right? More of a veteran guy that you're looking for a one-year, give me the best you got for 1 year, another kick at the can, et cetera. Play for a good team, maybe revive yourself after playing on
Giroux?
A bad team.
Or who are you talking about?
Somebody like Kessel.
Kessel.
Somebody like Giroux, who maybe the market isn't what it's supposed to be for Giroux. I find that kind of hard to believe. David Perron, who I think would love to go back to St. Louis, but St. Louis has got their own issues. Supposedly, according to last night's reporting, he's going to hit the market. Will somebody offer him 2 years? I don't know. But I'm just looking at that. That's kind of what David Poile said they're looking at under the current scheme. So I brought up another possibility. What if you move Fabro, got the extra 2.4, then you maybe sign a veteran defenseman for $1 million, you know, 1 year, $1 million, something like that.
And
you free up that space to maybe go for somebody more for a multi-year deal on the top six.
I am willing to listen to that. But tell me your targets and tell me what you're giving up. That's what I want to know, besides Fabro, because
that's the hard part.
You're not going to go get, let's just say, let's not even, you know, pencil it in for a second. Let's just say a top six forward. You're not going to get a top six forward, in my opinion, straight up for Fabro. You're going to have to throw something else in there. There's a trade package.
Right.
You throw it in a second. You are you going all in and going first?
I don't
really trying to get something.
I don't think you're. I agree with you. I don't think you're getting. I was never thinking that you were just going to swap Fabro for a top six forward. It's more swap Fabro for what you can get, like Luke in the Luke Kunin deal. If you can get a third round pick and a player for Luke Kunin, could you get something even a little higher? Second round pick, maybe a third round pick, and a little bit better, inexpensive player. But you're clearing the salary off of the deck, so you have more in the arsenal to attack a top six forward. That's the thinking I'm having.
But you're
and
you're,
I'm not. I'm much more willing to keep Fabro for a year, more so than I was with Kunin, where I think it was clear that they had to move on from Kunin because they just didn't have the right role for him. Now, like I've said all along, I would not be surprised at all if in San Jose, where he maybe gets to play more in the correct role, he has a nice bounce back season. I see him as a guy who could score 20, but it wasn't going to fit here. It wasn't a fit for Nashville. Fabro, it could go either way. I think Fabro could still have the light go on and he could take another step forward.
And there's another player that's the same thing that I would rather try and trade Tolvanen than I would Fabro, because Tolvanen's going to be fourth line and I just don't think that's going to
be. How do you know he's going to be fourth line?
Based on everything I have seen the last year and a half and then how Tomasino played, to me, Tomasino is second line. Tolvin in his fourth.
All right, we'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side to wrap up the second hour. We'll do that next. Our buddy Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. Okay, so finish your thoughts, and then we're going to get into a depth chart on who would be the target. So you're sticking with Perron. You're not.
If you go free agency, but if you're trying to make a trade, to trade a young player. So I always use this example. I think right now David Poile is in a situation with both Fabro and Tolvanen of haven't seen exactly what I want to see, but they're both young, so there could be more. And so you want to hang on as long as you can. He was that way with Colin Wilson. He was that way with John Blum. Wilson was And then they finally moved on. Blum never became anything.
Well, Colin Wilson played for a long time.
He did.
Jonathan Blum.
No, he did. He did. But you never got truly out of Colin Wilson what you thought you were going to get out of Colin Wilson.
Yeah, flashes.
Yeah,
but
flashes.
Never really stuck as
and
a top
right
six.
Now,
yeah.
Right now, I would say Favreau is more that way than Tolvanen, because Tolvanen you saw
Favreau
a big flash
is worlds ahead
it.
Of Jonathan Blum. But I would say I hear what you're saying on the Wilson where you like him, you're like, maybe there's more. Maybe like, there's more. And for Colin Wilson, unfortunately, it was never more with consistency.
I feel like
and
with
so is that Favreau? Right. I think that's
right.
That's a fair question, especially going into the next contract. And he's going to get a raise if you want to keep him after next year. And he's at 2.4 right now.
Right. So my thing is, I think David's sitting at the poker table, and he's looking at his hand, and he goes, I have a hand I could stay in with and see what happens, but I don't have any guarantees that I'm going to win it. Or I could go ahead and just fold and move on and get something for one of these guys, for Favreau or for Tolvanen. And I do think you'd get more for Favreau right now than you would Tolvanen.
I don't think the stock is going to go down if you hold for a year. Stock
I agree.
Stock won't go down.
I agree.
Unless he just has an absolutely awful,
in fact,
horrendous
in fact,
season.
I think he could flourish in that
possibly.
Role. And I think you have a good security blanket in depth in a guy that has him and Lazan, who have played top 4 minutes at times in their career. I mean, let's not discount the fact that you could have a need for a few weeks, right? Let's say somebody gets hurt in the top four, which is going to happen. Hopefully it's only for a game or two, but it could be for 3 weeks. And Dante Favreau plays top 4 minutes for 3 weeks and can kind of stem the tide. I like that security blanket.
You know,
I like that for depth.
You know a mistake I think they made with him, and it wasn't all their fault. Like, they kind of had to. It was out of necessity. But you remember when he signed out of college, who was he paired with? Dan Hamhuis. I thought that was a really good situation for him. Then they trade Subban. They had to move him up to the second pairing because he showed them enough to make them feel comfortable trading Subban. And he was with Ekholm, but it hurt Ekholm's game because he was having to cover up for a rookie.
Yep. And that is the parallel with Jonathan Blum. Jonathan Blum had a late season jump.
Yeah.
Played well in the playoffs. They thought, hey, we got something here. And then for whatever reason, he regressed. And that there were some growing pains there. And Blum never got out of that. Favreau has had some mix. But I think that's
if
they threw a lot at him at a very early age.
If Favreau had had a year on the third pair with Hamhuis,
mm-hmm.
I think you would see him be further along than he is now. And again, it was necessity. Like, they didn't really have a choice. So they just had to go with it. But I think now he's having to kind of catch up to some things than he wasn't really able to learn because he didn't have that luxury.
What's another thing that is a question with Favreau? Staying healthy and being able to take the grind. He's had various injuries and, you know, not a game here, a game there. He's had a couple of stints where it's been a pretty lengthy stay on the injured list.
Kyle on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, first, second, Favreau, Sissons, a prospect for line A or Miller. I'm assuming he's talking about JT Miller.
Ugh.
Well, here's two different cases. Line A right now is unsigned. He's a restricted
he's
free
a UFA.
Agent.
RFA. Well, will be tomorrow.
Here is the wrap on line A. Empty calorie goal scorer. Scores goals, but does nothing else to help you. In fact, is a liability on defense. Now, he can score a lot. Miller is a much more polished, older, all-around player.
Mm-hmm.
Miller is signed. He is property of the Vancouver Canucks, but he's got 1 year left at a little over $5 million a year. I think that's an interesting one I thought of is
JT Miller.
JT Miller, but realistically, could you sign him beyond 1 year? You'd have him for this year at 5.2, which is right in the Predators' budget. Would Vancouver be interested in a package that Favreau, who is from Vancouver, Favreau and maybe something pick? Vancouver could have Fabro for a year, see what you got there, decide on him. The Predators have Miller, who was a big upgrade, but then you would have trouble re-signing Miller after that because, I mean, if he's anything close to what he's been, JT Miller had 90-something points last year. Think about that. He would have led the Predators in scoring, or he'd been right there with Yossi.
But you're losing $2.5 million.
Yes.
You just shedded that.
Oh, you would absolutely have the budget this year. The question is, could you keep Miller after this coming season?
You could, but it's going to cost you somewhere else.
Right. Somebody right. Again. And we just mentioned, you got Janot, you got Carrier, you got all the other money that's already locked in. McDonough, Ekholm, Granlund. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're probably moving one of those. I mean, McDonough would be a little harder to move.
But that's a very intriguing proposal there. Not the Line A one, but the Fabro and Miller.
Yeah.
Fabro and Miller there. That's an interesting proposal.
That's interesting. I mean, if you're going to go all in like that and you're trading first,
Miller's the
seconds,
guy to go all in on. For sure.
Or I was going to say Tkachuk, but.
But Tkachuk is a restricted free agent.
Yeah. Line A is too. And they both are.
Well, Line A is no. Like, no.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not that interested.
I'm not.
Tkachuk, I'd be all over him, but he's another guy that the budget. Where do you fit him in the budget, though? I don't think you have the budget for him.
No. You're moving.
That's a big.
You're moving somebody named
Johansson.
We're talking $9-10 million a year kind of guy.
Big salary. I mean, if you're going to go that route, I mean, let's start talking about Kadri. I mean, those guys are different level contracts.
Yeah. Now, sure. Kadri is 31.
Kadri's older. So
yeah,
I'm not.
Still, Kadri's going to get a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's going to get a lot
but
of money.
But he's not in the Predators' price range, I don't think, at this stage. Because he's going to want length.
Kyle also brought up the fourth line, and we were actually talking about that during the break. As it's constructed today, McCarron is going to center the fourth line?
Well, he could, or you could move him to the wing. You've got Cody Glass.
Yeah.
You've got whoever loses out in the competition. Let's say Tomasino, in your perfect world, Chase, and mine as well, Tomasino makes the jump. He's ready to be in there as the second line player. You've got Tolvanen. He could play on the fourth line. He is a reliable, if nothing else, Tolvanen has graduated up to the point where he is a very reliable
defensive player. Yeah, he gets
hits. It's not ideal. You'd love for him to blossom and be the all-around goal scorer, but if he's not, he could play on the fourth line. They passed on Matt Luff, which was an interesting decision. They did bring back Cole Smith, who played some there. There's Tommy Novak. There's Afanasio,
yeah,
there's guys like that.
The problem is,
does that
line fit their identity? Does that fit what John Hines is doing?
Absolutely, if McCarron's on there.
Well, that's not what you said Glass centering, you're talking about Tolvanen. I mean,
yeah, no.
That doesn't really fit what
they're
doing.
Right now what I've got is Glass, McCarron, Tolvanen.
That's
in some form.
Not ideal, but that's probably what it's going to be.
I mean, you're talking about Cousins was on there. I mean, think about
right.
You're losing some grit on that fourth line.
Is it that much difference than last year, though? I guess without Olivier. Olivier didn't play much last year on that fourth line.
Well, I guess I'm looking at it as if you're talking about Glass instead of McCarron. I mean, McCarron's a guy that's not going to – he's a big body. He's not going to – he can push back. I'm just saying with the identity, what they're trying to do night in and night out, does that line fit that? I don't know.
Cole Smith does if he's on there.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back, begin the third hour with our buddy Tim Hasselbeck. We do that next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.